It is a Thursday, which means the weekend is near, and also means time to talk to our favorite guest, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, you say that about all the guests.
Oh, come on now. You say you do the same thing. I love being on your show. It's great. I love yeah, come on, man. It's we love each other. We all do in this industry, right?
Absolutely. But no, it is more fun with you than most shows. We don't get the off the wall in the other markets.
I'm slipping, Dusty. Did you notice what Brian just said? He said most before. He didn't say most. I'm sliding. I got to pick up my game. I got to step up the off the walls. Apparently. Oh, my goodness. Brian Haney, our guest, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. All right, so let's just jump into it here. KU, a nice win over Oklahoma State on Monday. And David McCormick, a guy that a lot of people are like, oh, just get him off the floor. He can't score. He's a liability defensively. And now we're seeing what Bill Self said all along. What do you know? Bill Self might know what he's talking about. McCormick, dominant second half. He was just absolutely fantastic. And some of the moves, he's advanced his game. He has more of a variety of moves, going to his left, going to his right. And I'm really happy for the young man to be turning it around after a tough start.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, obviously – It's especially tough when you're following up a first-team All-American season like Udoka Azubuike had last year, because everybody, whether it's fair or not, you know, expects there to be not a huge drop-off. And, you know, Udoka got his points and made his contributions in a very distinctly different fashion than David. And David, quite frankly, is more difficult. You know, he's not a guy that is much of a rim finisher. That's something, if anything, if you want to be constructively critical, we'd like to see him do more of, which is deep catches and big dunks, not trying to, you know, push these little touch shots over the top of defenders like he so often tries. But what we found from Coach Self throughout the season is, you know, David's really good at making those finishes if he has his legs set, his balance underneath him, and isn't leaning one way or falling backwards. If he's got a good base, as Coach Self has said, then his touch around the basket's really impressive. And while still there are moments like early in the game on Monday when a lot of bunnies were being missed, or certainly early in the game on Saturday at West Virginia when there were chances right around the rim and just a dunk would have finished it so much more easily and effectively, you know, still, he's a guy that has shown he's more comfortable scoring in other ways. And so I think, you know, obviously when you have an 83% free throw shooter from a big man position, that's a huge weapon. And when you have the myriad of moves he has from 6 feet and out, and the jump shot range in the mid-range of 15 to 18 feet, which is kind of his wheelhouse, that's a weapon you didn't have with Doak. And so there's a lot to like there. It just comes in different forms. And sometimes, you know, we're talking about Udoka, a guy who was setting the KU and NCAA record for field goal percentage based on all the catches and dunks. And that's just a really unrealistic expectation to back up, you know, to be the guy that has to follow that act. And so I think that's led to some of the fan comments that you alluded to earlier in the year. But David's such a hardworking kid. He's got a great head on his shoulders, comes from a terrific family, and, you know, he's handled the criticism and the adversity as well as you possibly could. And the fact that, A, he had the intestinal fortitude to stick to his gun, stay confident, keep pushing, after a 1-for-7 first half where, you know, there was obvious frustration there. But B, the fact that Bill Self stuck with the game plan of feeding the big fella and telling his teammates to keep trusting and believing in David, we're going to go right back to him on the very first possession of the second half and try to establish him all over again. Yeah, it says a lot about both of those two in trusting themselves and what they have in each other. And in sticking with the game plan that they felt heading in would give Kansas a nice edge. Sure enough, 21 second half points later, they both were exactly right.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that when you watch KU this year, and it's not fair to compare this year's team to last year's team. I mean, for crying out loud, you got two NBA players, and, you know, Dotson and then Udoka made it easy. Lots of lobs, high percentage shots, and Dotson got a lot of layups, and they could push it and transition more, and he was very crafty getting to the rim and explosive. Is that KU doesn't get a lot of easy buckets. I know Coach Self was talking about that recently. I mean, they're not getting a lot of easy buckets in transition. They're not getting the alley-oops that they've used to have for many years where easy buckets, they're not getting maybe as easy buckets on out-of-bounds plays as they once did. They have to grind and work more to get those buckets. And if McCormick can start, you know, making those shots closer to the rim, and of course he can step out and hit the 15-footer as well, that obviously makes the offense go. And then if you got to pay attention to McCormick, and Oklahoma State didn't really double him much the other night, which surprised me a little bit, then that opens things up for your perimeter shooters, and hopefully they can knock him down if McCormick is doubled.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, that was obviously you know, one of the byproducts of having such a force inside that commands more attention. You have to start sagging down, which frees up the perimeter shooters. And, you know, if Kansas can prove to be more capable on the outside, as we've seen in flashes at times this season, then suddenly the offense is, you know, clicking on all cylinders and all 5 points on the floor. I think Marcus Garrett, these last couple of games, has been a much better finisher off the bounce. And you've seen 35 points in two games out of him combined, where he's at times been KU's best offense. In that first half the other day, he goes 5 for 5, and, you know, after a really ice-cold start, as chilly as the temperatures outside for the team, he was the guy that put the team on his back and actually got us out in front of Oklahoma State. And then now that Christian Brown and Ochai Agbaji and Jalen Wilson are all guys that in different instances have looked like all Big 12 caliber performers, and then in other games, they've kind of taken a back seat. What we've noticed these last two contests is that with Self leaning on the starters more than ever in terms of minutes, we've had back-to-back games where everybody's been in double figures, and they've been in more of a rhythm cohesively and collectively than we've seen at any point this season. Now, how sustainable is that? Tough to say. But everybody's getting involved, and they're all, I think, starting to round into form to where some of those mid-season slumps that Jalen and Christian were going through seem like a distant memory now, and hopefully, you know, they just keep building on the positive outputs. But I do know this, as great as it is to see all five starters in double figures and everybody producing like they have the last two games, Self really wants to monitor load management with you know, Marcus Garrett in particular. Part of Garrett's, you know, lack of execution back in early January and December stemmed from the fact that he's played so many minutes. He was tired, you know, and not nearly as effective down the stretch. So getting Bryce Thompson back, which could happen as soon as tonight, if not, then hopefully Saturday, you know, that's obviously going to aid there, because as much as we all love DeJuan Harris and love what he brings on his best day, it's been pretty evident of late there's a significant drop-off there from your first-string, second-string point guard. And, you know, Self said on Tuesday Talk Talk, he said to DeJuan, hey, just give us 5 minutes, 7 good minutes, even, to where we could rest Marcus and have a much more fresh and effective Garrett down the stretch. But sometimes DeJuan comes in and makes a bad pass or misses a defensive assignment because he's young. I mean, it was just this time a year ago he was finally cleared to practice. He didn't practice with the team in the fall semester last year, and so unrealistic to expect him to just, you know, all of a sudden, you know, be this plug-and-play, ready-to-rock, you know, backup point guard when, A, he reclassified to come to KU a year early, B, wasn't allowed to practice with the team until the spring semester of last year, and then C, we played one of the top three toughest schedules in America. So, you know, his development is going to be steady, but I think we found in recent weeks, particularly with Bryce Thompson out, that the Kansas bench at the ball handling positions is not nearly, you know, what it's been in previous years. So hopefully that gets fixed real soon, maybe even tonight with Bryce.
What's the role for Grant Foster on this team? You know, he's shown some flashes. I can't remember what game it was where he kind of actually bailed him out with some really good play in the second half. But what's his status, and is he having a hard time adjusting to this level?
I try to remember, too. They all blend together this time of year, especially now that we're playing three games in this week. But yeah. I believe that was TCU,
okay.
if memory serves, where he came off the bench and really gave us a great spark. And, you know, it's a situation with him where, you know, so much hype when some had tabbed him the number one junior college prospect. And I know Self really felt like he could come in and do a lot right away. But he's proven to be a little more raw, even on both ends, than maybe what we expected. And, you know, his athleticism is still as good as we have. The explosiveness of him off the bounce is really special. And that's where if the offense is a clicking, and you need a guy to just go out and get a bucket on his own based on sheer quickness and playmaking ability creating for himself, he might be as good as we have. I think Ochai would enter into that equation, but Bill Self has said on a couple of instances, the guy that's the best at making tough shots where he just has to go get his is Tyon. And it was that TCU game. He had 17 minutes off the bench, went for 9 points, which is a Big 12 high for him, 5 boards. And a lot of it just came off the dribble drive where he made it happen himself when other guys were really kind of stuck in the mud offensively. I think there's still a role for that on this team, but in other instances, the polish to his game isn't proven enough to where, you know, Self can turn to him in a tight game and know that he's going to be where he needs to be defensively or, you know, not force the issue offensively. I think part of his fearlessness or his confidence and swagger on the offensive end that you love also comes with something that you don't, and that's sometimes he'll come in and he'll take a shot that normally is a heat check type shot for a guy that's hit 3 in a row, and he pulls up from 25 to see if he's red hot. He'll take that fresh off the bench. Yeah. And then you're like, whoa, partner, easy there. And so I think there's still some of that to work through. And, hey, let's be honest, it's hard to get in a groove if you're playing so sparingly. And so sometimes you come in and you try to catapult yourself into that when it doesn't necessarily happen within the flow of the offense and the way that it should come organically within the team concept. So I still think they like him a lot. I know Coach Self has said on at least one instance, man, I wish I was playing him more. But when you get to this portion of the schedule, as has been the case every year, whether it's the Self era, Roy Williams era, whatever, the patience starts to tighten. The stakes are higher. You go with the guys you can trust. You're not subbing as much. And he's one of the guys that's kind of been left on the outside looking in. But that doesn't mean there's still not going to be another game like TCU where, you know, they turn to him. And maybe it's in this stretch over the next 48 hours where you're playing, you know, an Iowa State team twice Thursday, Saturday, and you're trying to keep fresh legs and all that. Would not surprise me at all if that is the scenario where Tristan and Tyon and perhaps Bryce Thompson being worked back in suddenly gets some more run because, you know, I don't envy Iowa State. They've had to bust around from the state of Texas to Lawrence and not going home in between and all that. But I think as we get into this doubleheader, the tougher hand of it is on the Kansas side to play tonight, but then have, you know, it's really closer to 4.5 hours when you consider how fast buses go. You and I can make it 3:45. Right. But it's 4.5 in a bus to Ames tomorrow to have an early afternoon game on Saturday, which means zero time to prepare in between, and you'll just keep the same scouting report and roll. But the point is, your rest and recovery day is going to be spent resting on a bus, which is not ideal at all. And I recognize that Iowa State has the bus back tonight, too. But the point is, you know, they'll be sleeping in their own beds and have a little bit more of a comfy confine situation on Saturday. But what obviously is a very unique setup here with the back-to-back. It almost feels like some of those Ivy League games where they play Friday, Saturday, back-to-back, you know. And so that's what we're up against. And it's not as easy as Kansas fans are going to want to think it is with a 2-12 Iowa State team. They've been playing everybody close lately now that they've got their full complement of players. And so had Kansas played them when they were COVID-ridden, like in the weekend of the Big 12 SEC Challenge 2 weeks ago, then maybe it's an easy one. But right now, they're looking at full strength, and it's a much different challenge than what the records on paper would indicate.
Yeah, it's an odd situation. 2 games in 3 days against the same opponent. Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. I want to get to one more thing before the off-the-wall question. I'm sure you're well aware of the blue blood struggles. First time since 1961 that Duke, Kentucky, UCLA, North Carolina, and KU not ranked. First time KU not ranked this week since February of 2009. So you're probably well aware of that. Are you aware of this? The top 13 winningest programs in college hoops history, none of those 13 are ranked in the top 25 right now.
I did see that, and part of that was educating ourselves on who the 13 are.
Yes.
I didn't realize Temple was fifth all time.
Cincinnati's in there.
Names like St. John's and Cincinnati that might surprise some, although St. John's used to be great back in the day. Arizona, Indiana, no surprise. Utah, 12th, kind of surprised me. But yeah, that is an unbelievable stat. And you can talk about various factors of, well, these schools typically have a great home court advantage, and now they don't have it this year. But I think maybe the biggest thing is a lot of these schools are heavily reliant every year on their influx of new talent, incoming freshmen, particularly at places like Kentucky and Duke and Carolina. And because there wasn't the typical preseason, everything was abbreviated and interrupted. And, Self talked about the other night on Hawk Talk about how that kind of stunted Bryce Thompson out the gate, a McDonald's All-American that didn't have the normal preseason buildup. I think that's factored into it, too. You don't want to overstate that, but I think it's a definite factor. So, yeah, pretty wild that over half the poll, in terms of slots for rankings, does not feature those top 13 of the winningest programs. But I have a feeling if this week goes the way it's supposed to, we're going to see Kansas jump back pretty quickly. I was surprised they fell all the way to 33rd, though, in the AP balloting. That, to me, seems like too significant of a drop. 10 places because you lost at West Virginia when they had two guys with career days. So that might make it tough to leap back up in the top 25 on Monday should they go 3-0. But they won't be long outside of the polls, I promise you that. And hopefully with our strength of schedule and with the momentum they're trying to build up these next three games, they can get back in it and stay in it for the rest of the season.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question. I'm trying to step it up here today. I did actually have an original one, and then I'm like, that's too easy. So I changed it. Today is National Make a Friend Day. National Make a Friend Day. Of course, Brian and I are friends. Many of us in the radio industry are friends. And so the question for Brian is, do you remember the first friend that you had? Who did you make friends with first? Do you remember?
I do. I remember my first day at kindergarten. Uh-huh. I was so nervous because, mom drops you off at the door and you're on your own for upwards of 4 hours, which feels like an eternity then. And I got in there, and there was another boy named Paul Wagner. And I somehow, in the first 2 minutes of being in a school setting for the first time in my existence, managed to lose one of my gloves or hat or something. I don't know what it was. And I was beside myself to the point of tears. Mm-hmm. And he put his arm around me, and he helped me find my, I think it was a hat, helped me find my hat, because I was so worried. You're nervous about all these things. How are you going to mix in socially? Is the teacher going to be mean? And then I lose something and was afraid, oh, my gosh, it'll never be found. Of course, it was probably like 4 feet away from me underneath the chair. But he magically returned the hat, put his arm around me, and I felt like all was well in the world and everything was going to be okay. And we became good friends and have stayed friends to this day some 35 years later. So it's funny how that works. But I'll tell you a good story about making new friends. And this is kind of a personal plug here, but it's for a good buddy of mine, a young boy who's bravely fighting cancer and has been for 5 years now with a brain tumor that has doubled in size, to be honest with you, in the last week, and he's up against the fight of his life. He made friends with Bill Self 1 week ago yesterday, and they hit it off so much via Zoom for a podcast recording that this young man does. The coach then went out to his house on Tuesday to meet with him in person, because he was just so moved by the story of Nicholas Parscale. His podcast is called Nick the Brave, and I'll put it up on social media later today for folks to follow, but it's real easy to find. If you go to iTunes or Spotify, just search Nick the Brave, and it's about a 13-minute conversation between Nick and Coach. Hmm. All of his chats are about positive people that try to inject positivity into the world, and you'll love the perspective that Coach shares and a special deal he makes with Nick at the end of the conversation. I tell you that just because I was so moved to see the fast friends that these two became, and the fact that Coach, in the middle of in-season, amidst a really trying season, was willing to give up his morning the other day to go out there and spend time with Nick. I thought that was so cool. So check it out, Nick the Brave, two buddies that have only been friends for about a week, but they're thick as thieves now, and Nick is serving as a real inspiration for Coach and his team down the stretch of this season.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. I appreciate you sharing that with us. It gives you goosebumps when you share that story. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's funny. We'll end with this. It's funny. I never know where these questions are going to go. You mentioned that you were dropped off at school, first day of kindergarten, and those words you just said, dropped off at school, is so weird because last night, I'll set this up for you and see what you think. So yesterday, my middle son wasn't feeling well, so mom was about ready to take him to school. He suddenly wasn't feeling very well, so mom stayed home. My youngest is 7. He's in first grade, and he was ready to go to school. My oldest, he now is driving, as you know him as Miller. And so Miller was going to go to high school, of course, but he was able to drop off our youngest because mom had to stay home. He was able to drop off the youngest at first grade at the elementary school. And I think that's the first time he's ever had to do that, my oldest, to drop off the youngest. And so we asked last night, you know, everything go okay when you dropped off your little brother? Yeah, everything was fine and so forth and so on. And my 14-year-old, he says to me, my oldest, as you know, is Miller. He says to me, yeah, it went a lot better than when you dropped me off at school when I was 7. And you want to hear the story? Yeah. You want to hear this story? So,
sure.
I host a morning show, Waterside Wake Up. I'm here at work at 7 a.m. So I never get to drop off my kids at school. But for some reason, I was able to drop off my kids at school, or my oldest, the only one that was in school at the time, when he was 7, which is Miller, as you know him. And so I it was a rainy morning. And I went and I had my pickup truck and he got out. I said, hey, man, have a great day at school, so forth and so on. He got out of the truck. I didn't know what happened. And then he walked with his back to me up the sidewalk and right into the front doors of the school. I made sure he got in, thought I did a perfect job as a dad dropping off my son. And then I drove off, I think, to work or something. OK, what I found out later that day, 7 years ago, was when I got home, Miller, or Noah, chewed me out because apparently he got out of the truck, he slipped on the running board and fell, and then got up and then walked in the school crying. And I had no idea. No idea. And so I remember him saying, you don't take me to school anymore. I'm like, the one time I take my kid to school, I messed it up. And he remembers it still today after yesterday taking his youngest brother, who's the same age, to school. And he has to rub it in my face and say, yeah, I did a better job than dad did when he dropped me off when I was 7. So if you don't think you scar your kids, you know, you remember something all the way back when you were 5 in kindergarten, the first day of school and a friend. That's a pretty cool story. That's cool for you. I've scarred my children, apparently, because I should not be dropping off at school. And he remembers that. And there's no way for me to have seen it. He slipped off the running board, I guess, when it was slippery, rainy, got up. He never turned around. I never saw him crying. I didn't know it till I got back from school. And I felt like the worst parent in the world.
Oh, bless your heart. And bless his. I had to be tough walking into class with tears welling up in his eyes and trying to wipe those away. I can certainly sympathize with him. But, man, that's wild. I don't know. You probably, as soon as the door slammed shut, you like cranked up your AC/DC or whatever.
I did.
Jamming out your tune.
I was like, nailed it. This is easy. Yeah.
Or you're Miley Cyrus, I guess.
I don't know if Miley had that song at that time or not. Maybe she did. I have to look up that release date. Hey, man, thanks for the cool stories. I appreciate both of those. That's really cool. Your first friend you remember all the way back when you were dropped off from kindergarten, and then the story with Coach Self and another friend. That is so awesome, and thank you so much. And our thoughts and prayers go out to that young one, and it's so cool that they were able to put together a relationship there with Coach Self. Very cool. Hey, have great calls today, Saturday and Wednesday, and we'll talk about all three next Thursday with you.
Always a pleasure being on my favorite show in all of Canada and the universe, for that matter, all across the Milky Way.
Our best guest of all time, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, right here on the Sports Ticket. Have a good one, my man.
You too, buddy. Take care.
See ya.